that Bell 206 in the East River may have had a rotor problem. NIMBYs want non-essential helicopter flights banned. And Australia grounds its Chinook fleet. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 7th, 2011. The NTSB has recovered the wreckage of the Bell 206B that went down Tuesday in the East River in New York City, and part of the investigation is focusing on a broken main rotor blade. NTSB member Mark Rosekind says the mostly intact aircraft was recovered from the river and moved to a secure facility at Floyd Bennett Field, and that a part of one of the main rotor blades was missing. He said it has not been determined whether the blade was damaged before the aircraft went down or as a result of the impact with the water. Rosekind stressed that the flight was conducted under Part 91, meaning that it was not part of a helicopter tour operation, nor was it revenue generating for the pilot. Significantly, that also means it would not have been restricted by proposed bans on tour operations being proposed by some NIMBYs. The reaction to Tuesday's fatal helicopter accident at the 34th Street heliport has produced a range of reactions which vary based on personal agendas. State Senator Daniel Squadron is not above pandering to the NIMBYs or using the excuse of safety to push his argument. The lawmaker represents Manhattan and Brooklyn and told the news website NY1.com, quote, "It's very clear, a trip originating and ending in Manhattan, that's not essential. That's a tour, and it's just too crowded. Manhattan is the most crowded island in the country, and to have this volume of air traffic doesn't make sense," unquote. He elaborated in comments to the Fort Greene Clinton Hill Patch, saying that Tuesday's tragedy, quote, "is another clear sign. Non-essential helicopters in Manhattan don't make sense for passengers, pilots, or local residents," unquote. While we're left to assume that the senator feels qualified to be the arbiter of what flights are essential, the people actually flying on those helicopters continue to demonstrate that they believe the risks are justified. NY1 reports that workers at all the heliports the day after the accident said Wednesday was just like any other day and the lines were just as long, despite all the live team coverage of the accident in the media the previous afternoon. One visitor told the outlet, quote, "I was on the phone making reservations when I looked at TV and saw the helicopter crash. Didn't bother me one bit," unquote. The Australian Army announced yesterday it's grounding its fleet of five Chinook CH-47D helicopters temporarily, but indefinitely, after determining that a glitch in the software for the aircraft's advanced flight control system was a factor in the death of one of its pilots in Afghanistan. Lieutenant Marcus Case, 27 years old, was reportedly on a familiarization flight in a Chinook in Afghanistan on May 30th of this year, when the helicopter was seen to lean over on one side and impact the ground. Sky News reports Australian Defense has determined that in certain wind conditions, the Chinook's automatic stability system can fight the pilot's inputs, resulting in an oscillation which may lead to loss of control. With the manufacturer unable to find the glitch, it was deemed necessary to ground the fleet. The Australian Army operates five CH-47D Chinooks. Of the five, two are deployed to Afghanistan, one is deployed to Papua New Guinea, one is on Horn Island, and the remaining aircraft is in Townsville, where the Chinook fleet is based. ATA, the Air Transport Association of America, issued a statement this week challenging the unilateral application of the European Union Emissions Trading Scheme to international aviation. The statement says in part, quote, "The Air Transport Association is disappointed that Advocate General Cocotte does not believe that the European Union is bound by the Chicago Convention, the treaty governing aviation, and that the unilateral application of the EU ETS to international aviation otherwise does not violate law. ATA's view is supported by more than 20 countries, which recently reconfirmed their opposition to the EU," unquote. The full European Court of Justice is expected to issue a ruling by early 2012. Still ahead, the FAA issues an AD for some citations. Boeing and Airbus announce orders. And would you really call Airbus attractive? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 7th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA has issued an emergency AD for Cessna 525s. The action was prompted by a report of a battery fire that happened when an energized ground power unit was connected to a plane equipped with a lithium-ion battery as the main aircraft battery. Within the next 10 hours time in service, or within the next 7 days after the effective date of the AD, whichever comes first, operators have to replace the lithium-ion main aircraft battery, following a Cessna Citation Service Bulletin. The AD also orders maintainers not to install a particular Cessna lithium-ion battery on any of the affected airplanes. You can get more details at aero-news.net. Boeing and Ethiopian Airlines Wednesday announced an order for 4 Boeing 777 freighters. That makes Ethiopian Airlines the first African carrier to order the twin-engine freighter. The order is valued at about $1.1 billion at list prices and was previously attributed to an unidentified customer on the Boeing website. The 777 freighter is the world's longest-range twin-engine freighter, and it is based on the technologically advanced 777-200LR passenger plane. It can fly 4,900 nautical miles with a full payload of 225,000 pounds. Qantas and Airbus have finalized a contract for 110 A320 family aircraft to help with the airline's fleet renewal and expansion plans in coming years. The firm order for 78 A320neos and 32 A320s is the largest single order in Australian aviation history by aircraft units and follows a commitment signed in August. Qantas says it will make its engine decision at a later date. And finally today, Airbus has been nominated the most attractive employer in France. The Palmarès Employeur 2011 prize was awarded to Airbus by Regions Job, a leading French employment website. More than 9,000 web users, which included people already employees as well as job seekers, evaluated companies based on 25 criteria. Airbus was ranked number one out of a list of nearly 1,000 companies assessed between May and July of this year. Airbus scored highly in career development, training, people management, working conditions and organization, welcoming disabled people, recruiting young graduates, being a leading economic player, and innovative and long-term perspectives. Airbus says it offers employees a unique place to work with wide career opportunities which can involve moving to different sites or even countries around the world. The company notes aircraft design and manufacturing is a very stimulating international environment with cutting-edge technologies and a high level of innovation. The company currently employs 54,000 people of more than 80 nationalities. Is that right? Airbus, France's most attractive employer? I'm thinking the guy who used to be the gardener for Brigitte Bardot might beg to differ. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday from NBAA. And have a clear and unlimited day.